When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Clutch Points, joined on this fine, somewhat now morose Monday evening by Harrison Fagan of SB Nation and of, well, you're not really of Silver Screen and Roll anymore, right? You're just like of SB Nation?
Not really. Yeah, just pretty much SB Nation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always spiritually of Silver Screen and Roll. That's my baby, you know? That's my blog home where I came up. But yeah,
I don't know that
I've written there in over a year.
Yeah. Am I allowed to say that? Am I allowed to say, like, I'm spiritually connected to SSR? I feel like that's a little more
complicated. You're part of the Silver Screen and Roll extended universe family.
Yeah in one of those universes I don't get laid off and the numbers are still good. Anyway, the today on the show we're going to be talking about the lottery, which coming into the evening, this was honestly, Harrison, every so often a story or events will play out that are just so perfect that I literally texted you tonight. I was like, dude, we have to record about this. And fortunately for me,
I'm curious what guest fell through that you sent me that text.
Sabrina. It was Sabrina. So, the fact that the NBA would have the audacity to give the Dallas Mavericks the top pick in the draft when they had a 1.6 or 1.8% chance at winning this thing after the Luka trade, after the year from hell, from there's a literal hat out there that is like in the veteran style where you have like a purple heart basically that says I survived.
Oh yeah. Mavs 2024-25 veteran. Yeah. That's our guy, slightly biased Mavs streamer.
Like there's a hat out there. Essentially,
I think that's like one of one. I don't know that they sell that. I think he had that made.
I hope he sells it. It would be really funny if you're like a veteran and you salute some person.
Salute the guy and then he's like an actual they salute hat. Back and they're like, yeah, fire Nico.
But anyway, so like after all of the everything that played out this year for the NBA to have the audacity to give the Dallas Mavericks the top pick in the upcoming draft and then like stare at us, be like, I dare you to say this was rigged. I dare you. And you know what? I will, Adam. I will say that you rigged this thing. I will say that the lottery is set up. It like, hear me out, Harrison. I really want to pitch you on why I think the lottery is the perfect thing for the NBA to rig. Because
how do you not just have a tinfoil hat in your desk at this point? I feel like it's under the hat. Like you should just have one ready. Like we need to Amazon wishlist this for you or something, like a permanent one.
I should you know what? Costco sells like a roll of tinfoil paper that you literally just pull sheets out of. It's not a roll that you have to rip. You just pull sheets. I'm just going to put that here on my desk. Alexa,
yeah, I think you need
add tinfoil sheets to the Costco list. Thank you. So but no, hear me out, Harrison, because I truly believe that this is a rigged system. I truly believe it. I know that I'm going to sound ridiculous. I know that I'm going to sound like a lunatic. And I think that's the point, because the NBA, think of all of the most important lotteries that have played out, or the most notable lotteries that have played out. Patrick Ewing goes to Georgetown, is immediately, you know, he's a collegiate hero. He stays in New York with the frozen envelope there. You have Cleveland getting LeBron James, the kid from Akron. You have Chicago winning the lottery when Derrick Rose, the Chicago kid, is about to be drafted there. You have the New Orleans Pelicans getting Zion Williamson right after the Pelicans and the Lakers just had arduous negotiations that ran for a year. And eventually you had Anthony Davis wearing a That's All Folks shirt and eventually goes to the Lakers. They somehow win the lottery that is about to get the next superstar.
And, I mean, AD to the Pelicans after they lost Chris Paul.
Yes, yeah. The you know, Chris Paul says he wants out. They somehow, some way, get AD the year after they trade Chris Paul. You have Victor Wembanyama. The San Antonio Spurs are kind of reeling, and they are kind of a darling of the NBA. So they just so happen to get him, and Victor Wembanyama pumps his fist when he sees that the Spurs win that lottery too. And it's the kind of thing that like you can hide in plain sight, and if anybody challenges you on it, you're like, oh, come on, take off a tinfoil hat, stop being ridiculous. Look at this really long process that nobody ever can actually fully explain without boring you to death. And it's like it's a purposefully boring and arduous process that you have to try to explain to people. You have zillions and zillions and zillions of ping pong balls that, you know, you could just say, by the way, nobody is allowed to bring in a phone, to videotape this process. Nobody is you go into this room.
They videotape the lottery.
No, but like nobody's like independently allowed to. Nobody's okay, allowed yeah, to yeah. like take in their cell phone and actually provide the any kind of information on the process until after it's all said and done. Here's this big long thing that at any point anybody could step up and say, man, it sure seems that a lot of these lotteries go in the direction that the league would stand to benefit really, really well from. And if you point that out, you sound like a lunatic. I know I sound like a lunatic right now, but the fact that they just did it again and Dallas, not only did they win the NBA lottery, they won the WNBA lottery too. They're like, you know what? That Luka trade was rough. Like,
we need to save basketball in Dallas.
In Dallas.
All hands on deck. Number one picks for both teams.
I think that's only happened like one other time or two other times. The other one I think was with LeBron, that lottery. Maybe it was a Kyrie one. I forget. But still, it's just, I don't know. I am going to go, I'm going to plant my flag on this thing and probably make it so that I am never allowed to be credentialed for an NBA media event ever again. But
you overestimate how organized they're going to be about credentials.
Well, that's true about credentials, but they're organized enough to rig this thing. I'm planting my flag on Lottery is Rigged Island. Where do you stand? Do you have tinfoil back there?
So, you know, I think you're wrong. Like, I don't think that this is actually rigged. I do think that, you know, there are the thing about narratives and saying, you know, oh, it's like it's the best narrative for so and so to end up here is that you could sort of make that case about like almost any destination on the spectrum. Like if the Sixers would have got it, it's like, oh, it's to resuscitate Philadelphia after their, you know, terrible season and, you know, save them. If the Spurs got it, it's like, oh, you know, here we go. Tim Duncan and David Robinson again, you know, the NBA is trying to make sure the Spurs can stay profitable in San Antonio forever, you know, even with sort of their small family business vibes and all of that stuff. And, you know, it's just like the Hornets. Well, I mean, they wouldn't rig it for the Hornets, but, you know, nobody would cry rigged if the Hornets won it. They'd be like, good for them. You know,
the dumbest Matt I ever Cooper, felt today was
good for them.
There was like a 30-second window where I thought that the Hornets were going to win the thing because they got new ownership. And Cooper Flagg just went to Duke, right? The Carolina school. And you're like, okay, they're finally actually putting a legitimate player there in Carolina to give that city any kind of hope as it pertains to basketball. And then I was like, no, you freaking buffoon. Like, no, why would they care about Carolina? Like they've never cared about Carolina. It's never going to be a pro basketball team.
Yeah,
it's
always like, you know, be a Cooper Flagg, this guy seems really marketable. Next American superstar, face of the league, potentially. Let's go have him learn from LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges. This is going to go great.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Didn't LaMelo Ball, run over a fan's foot this year?
I think that's allegedly. I don't know if he was actually ever like found guilty in a court of that.
Do you think he'll teach flag?
He might
that
have been,
rule?
I don't know.
Like, hey man, if you ever want to just not have to sign autographs ever again. Here's one trick I've learned.
This one, it's like a YouTube video, and it's LaMelo doing the like, and it's like this one trick. Autograph seekers hate it. It's just running them over with your car.
I think that's a great point to make, though, that like, and this is why conspiracy theorists, you know, exist, is that there are so many wild explanations to everyday things that, yeah, my thing that I keep coming back to is just like 1.6% chance here. Did you know that the Josh Giddey shot that he made?
I did. I saw that. Yeah.
Like, that made it so
they would have been in that slot in the lottery. So Josh Giddey denied the Bulls Cooper Flag.
and denied the Lakers the 2 seed, and they would maybe still be playing right now. But,
a lot of implications from that one Josh Giddey seemingly meaningless buzzer beater.
It didn't feel meaningless in the moment. What do you think about the flag to Dallas thing? Do you think this makes Dallas, improves the mood in Dallas so much that Nico can actually talk to Rob on the phone?
So I'm going to say really quickly about the rig thing.
Okay.
Even if, you know, just really quick, like I don't think that it is rigged, but if the league did it, honestly, this was the right call. Like, I think Dallas fans deserve it after the season that they've had, you know, I can't even be mad about it. It's like, you know what? Fair enough. Yeah. Like this was, if you're going to do this time, I'm fine with it. It's like LeBron getting drafted by the hometown Cavs and, you know, trying to bring a title there. It's like, okay,
that's the thing.
Even if this was rigged, I could get behind it. I don't think it's rigged, but even if it was, Mavs fans, you deserve it.
They've made good choices, still. Like with their riggings over the years. Is that like LeBron to Cleveland, great story. He wins a championship for that city. You never get the Cleveland.
Yeah, on the second try, just like the NBA planned it. They were like, LeBron, you're going to leave. You're going to go to Miami. You're going to have one of the most.
Well, some things you can't rig.
This is how we're going to cover up the conspiracy theories. We're going to make Cavs fans burn your jersey and throw batteries at you for how you leave in a public TV special. And then you're going to come back and win them their first title. You know, just.
But David
Stern wrote it all out on a napkin at like a Starbucks. He was like,
I'm not saying that the whole thing is scripted. I'm not saying that the whole league is rigged or anything like that. Although it does now appear that the league, you know, they're like, look, the Lakers are screwed after LeBron. What if, Nico, you think he's fat anyway? What if you just send him to the Lakers and then we'll promise you the top pick in the next draft. You get a white American kid in Texas. How happy will you be?
See, the thing is like, I just don't know that I don't know that the NBA is competent enough to pull something like that off without it getting out based on like a lot of their other actions over the years. And like, I also think like, if you're Nico Harrison, what's the upside in that for you? It's like, oh, cool, I get to be hated forever and my kids get bullied at school because like, but at least we're going to get Cooper Flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, and so the reason I apologize to Mavs fans in part is that I don't know. Are we sure Cooper Flag is going to be a Mav?
Well, that's the thing here.
Because I think there are other events tonight that we can get into, and I know it's soon, and I know that this is early, and I want to be respectful, but the Celtics window might have just slammed shut a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was already a lot of talk over whether or not they were going to ship off Jaylen Brown or Kristaps Porzingis or Drew Holiday to get under the second apron because of how punitive it's going to be. And because, you know, like it's as my guy Sam Sheehan on the Uniball podcast says, the Celtics previous owner stole dad's credit card and just like ran up the bill. And then the dad was like, we got to sell this team. We can't pay these luxury taxes.
Yeah.
And so they got a title out of it. But there was already, even before they were down against the Knicks, you know, going into this was sort of a last dance vibe with like this core. This is probably the last run for them because financially and in this new, you know, apron world, shout out to Rob, it's not going to be feasible for them to sort of remain at the payroll level that they are and still be able to keep refreshing the back end of the roster and stay, you know, stay in contention. And I wonder if, you know, this is how we get the Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving reunion and Cooper Flagg gets to go home to Boston.
Ooh, I don't know if Brown is good enough to trade the number one pick for.
You have to put yourself in the brain of Nico Harrison.
Yeah.
There's a 3-year window here, Anthony. What happens at the end of 3 years? I don't know. I'm starting to worry he knows something that we don't know, like that the world is going to end for sure. Like he got word from bosses. Now it's all over in the next 3 years. We better try to win it now.
I mean, if we're entertaining ridiculous trades that Nico Harrison and only Nico Harrison is dumb enough to make, then I feel like we got to talk about the one that I am being accused of engagement farming for. Have you, like, that term is a hilarious.
Well, somebody accused criticism. Me of that this morning and they were right. I mean, I was definitely joking.
That's about, the like, whole the point of Twitter, Harrison.
Yeah,
People now get paid for Twitter.
Well, I was doing it just because I thought it would be funny to have the Lakers trade not at package for Giannis that I was proposing not include Austin Reeves and have the one first round pick in it be top 8 protected. I was very proud of that detail. So I was absolutely engagement farming. And if they called me out for it, 100%, you got me.
All right. So here's what I put together. I'm not going to show the first one. The second one is the funnier one. Ooh, that's a bad picture. Well, anyway, here's the picture of it. The Lakers would be receiving Klay Thompson, Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, Max Christie, and Cooper Flagg. And the Mavericks would be receiving LeBron.
Wait, James. Did you put this together before Cooper Flagg was the pick?
Or was no, this as soon as they won the lottery, this is where my brain went.
You think they're trading Cooper Flagg for LeBron? Your old LeBron?
I mean, Nico Harrison, everything.
I mean, I like that they get Shake Milton. You know, you got to have like some more player. You got to balance out the roster math a little bit, I think.
Yeah. And they get the point guard of the future in Bronny James, too.
Obviously, Bronny has to be in the deal. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, all right. So here's my thinking beyond just being absolutely and utterly ridiculous and stupid. But my thinking on it is that Nico Harrison owes everything in his life to the relationships he built at Nike. The Nike athlete now is LeBron James.
Yeah, there's but LeBron already wasn't one of his guys, I don't think.
No. But I'm saying like LeBron is the Nike athlete, and this is the most annoying part of this. All right, so but the LeBron is the Nike athlete, and he is. He just played the best defense of any Laker on this team during this run, which is probably why they were out in the first round. And
yeah, kind of, you know, again, he was great. I'm not taking anything away from him. Kind of rough if 40-year-old LeBron is your best defender, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so
really should not be your most important defensive position. Although, again, like all kudos to him for basically just becoming Draymond at 40 for
now. I do see a lot of people here making the point that Nico will trade Cooper for Giannis. That's actually like if he traded Cooper Flagg for Giannis, I don't even think if I were a Mavs fan, I would be that upset about it. Like that's fine. I'm nervous. I would be a little
AD work.
Probably not, but I've also seen these kind of front courts.
I guess that's so physically imposing that maybe you can make it work with just sort of bully ball.
Yeah, well, but that's basically what Minnesota did to the Lakers. It's what Minnesota is doing right now. Now it's kind of hard to actually gauge what Minnesota is doing to Golden State, because Golden State doesn't have Steph. But that's essentially what Golden State is doing to Minnesota. New York has had a lot of success against Boston with their two big lineups, right, with Kat and with Mitchell Robinson. They've played really well together. And that's a pairing that you wouldn't normally think would play all that way well together either. So because of the foot speed problem, I could see the Giannis thing. Like, that's actually, if the, it would be a meme, it would be made fun of.
Also, AD wants to play with another center, and Giannis loves, you know, being small forward and handling the ball.
Well, what if neither of them?
Again, I'm not saying that this doesn't mean that they would all sit down and be like, hey, guys, we're all problems. We can, like, we've seen AD do this before with a bad shooting ball handler. And yeah. So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but like a Gafford, you know, Giannis AD front court is obviously extremely physically imposing and like sounds great on paper. But I just wonder, you know, if that's just offensive death.
Yeah, I probably. But Nico, like, this is the thing. When you do something as ridiculous as what Nico did this year, everything is within the realm of possibility. And I don't actually think that this LeBron situation is actually within the realm of possibility. But Giannis being, he's a Nike guy.
Well, Anthony, he hasn't asked out. He's just said that he is open to the possibility of alternate futures, you know?
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for a simpler way to explore medical weight loss options? Orderly Meds connects you online with licensed healthcare providers so you can learn about GLP-1 treatment options from home. It's convenient, straightforward, and designed to fit your lifestyle. Get started today at orderlymeds.com/podcasts. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
Truly ridiculous.
Like, this man. Is like when you're, both of us, this is a bad analogy for me to make, because both of us have, our parents are still happily married. But this is like when your parents come in and they're like, you know, we're just going to live in separate houses for a while. Like, Giannis is soft launching the divorce, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, the Giannis thing is funny because he's the guy who always gets a lot of credit for these thoughtful responses that are all just complete verbal diarrhea sessions. They are terrible, terrible answers. Like, did you see the one that he got a lot of credit for when he was talking about like his parents and stuff like that with Tyrese Halliburton's dad getting in his face?
I thought that was reasonable.
There's a clip of him playing photographer I'm fine with him talking about his parents being humble and stuff like that, because I'm sure they actually are, but Giannis is not humble. He's the same guy who, after he scored 50 points in that finals game, went to an actual drive-thru and videotaped himself ordering a 50 piece.
Oh, come on. That was adorable.
It's still not humble.
Oh,
none of these guys are humble.
That's he went and got chicken
nuggets.
He's
also the same guy against.
What, he's not allowed to celebrate with chicken nuggets now?
I'm not anti-celebrating. I'm anti-policing celebrating after you have celebrated.
Buying chicken nuggets is a lot different than a player's dad walking up to you and waving a towel in your face right after the game just ended. Like, I think
he handled.
That's a slippery slope. Like, what if Giannis was not sort of as under control as he, like, what if Tyrese's dad had done that to like Bobby Portis? Like, he might be dead right now. And so, you know, it's just like, I'm okay with sort of Giannis drawing a line and
I
don't like that.
But he had a problem with like the way that the Pacers were carrying on. It wasn't just his dad. He got in Ben Mathurin's face. He got in Ben Mathurin's face too.
The clip that I saw that he was upset about was Halliburton's dad getting right in his face with a towel right after the game, which is like,
so that's happened.
Too far. You can't do that. Like,
I agree. Yeah. But
he also, Giannis is also the guy who had like that awful, this isn't failure. Failure is this. And they, like, but, dude, you were just knocked out of LinkedIn's the first round.
Number one clip. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this isn't fail. Like, he may as
that
well
was very cringy.
He may as well put on a Patagonia like sweater vest for that.
That was like a rejected clip. Coach Carter speech, you know?
So like, but like he's my point is he's capable.
The only thing
of kind
he didn't
of,
do was say what's important is my grades. And it's like, wait, Giannis, you're a professional athlete. You don't get grades. Like that's not.
But like, like all of these reports that, yeah, now he is really seriously considering it. Last year or coming into this year, he was like, yeah, if we don't win, they might trade me. Like, come on, man. Like,
again,
what are
he's
you doing?
Soft launching the divorce.
Yeah.
He's going to his wife and just being like, you know, our friends tried an open marriage. Yeah, he's just bringing it up. He's like, I'm not asking for it. Well, yeah,
I didn't say I wanted a threesome.
Brainstorming. Oh my God.
I just commented on our neighbors.
He's also the same guy who basically like threatened to leave twice until they made trades that he wanted and then extended. So
yeah
I mean, he's
right.
Yeah.
So like, I guess my, all of this is to say that, like, you know, Giannis is going to talk his way through whatever he needs to talk himself through. By the way, I'm not all that interested in Giannis until I know that he's willing to set screens. If he isn't, I don't think whatever team he's on is going to be as good as he wants it to be.
Well, he's especially not a team of him and Luka.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. But it's a team with him and Dame, and he still isn't willing to run pick and roll with Dame. So like,
no, I understand, but I'm saying, like, if you're looking at this from a Lakers perspective, you know, again, if it's Giannis, you see what the price is. You go and maybe see if you can make it happen. But that would be the number one thing. It's like, is he willing to set screens for Luka and sort of be, you know, like super duper ultra version of what LeBron was this year, I guess, without 3-point shooting.
It's just funny because LeBron is the super duper ultra version of Draymond. Like, it's like, like we're finding out that
Draymond is the Charizard or the Charmander in this analogy of
and Giannis is Charizard. Yeah, although I feel like LeBron is a little closer to Charizard than what's the one in the middle?
Charmeleon.
I feel like, because Charmeleon is supposed to split the difference, right? But I feel like LeBron is a lot closer to the Giannis example than the Draymond example. Yeah, anyway, we are off the rails here. But yeah, the Giannis thing is I think probably the likeliest of all of the scenarios here where Dallas actually trades the pick. And if they do trade for Giannis, I know Dallas fans would probably like kind of cry about it, whine about it a little bit, but it wouldn't be the worst outcome there. He's still on their timeline. Flag isn't really on their timeline as they exist right now.
Well, depending on how good he is from year one, you know, if there's a chance he's ready to contribute right now, but
yeah,
as Giannis. I think it's safe to say, you know, Cooper Flag, I'm willing to go out there on a limb, not going to be as good of an NBA player as Giannis next year.
Yeah. Well, that's more my point is that like, if you're talking about title windows with Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, then you're talking about next year, the year after that. Because the thing is, Harrison, and you kind of alluded to this about like the Celtics and stuff, but I've always gotten along fairly well with him, but he tweeted out the other day that like OKC is the exception and that their window was like forever. And we say this, we find reasons to say this about every team after they win a championship. Remember the Denver Nuggets dynasty that they were talking about and talked themselves into?
Very famously, their GM was like, I don't know. I don't really want a dynasty. I want to just like win like every other year or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Just,
and then, well, but like you have, but now you have the Celtics and again, the Tatum injury is a bummer, but injuries are very much a part of the NBA life. And, the Celtics run is over. It appears that if it is indeed that, and I hope it isn't, I sincerely hope that it isn't a blown Achilles, but if it is, they were already getting ready to shed salary. Now he's going to miss all of next year. Like the Celtics, as we've known them for the last couple of years, that's it. They are done. And it happens
Drew
like
Holiday's
that.
Aging. Kristaps Porzingis, it's not clear that he can like play real NBA minutes yeah. with any level of consistency anymore or ever again.
Right. And then, and you know, and but like you look at the, that's why I lost my mind.
Al Horford, you know, not to sound like the Urkel LeBron tweet, but like at some point, the Al Horford fuckery is going to stop too, you know, like he's, he's not going to be 39 and like a defensive player of the year level guy in the playoffs anymore.
Yeah.
So at some point.
But that's why I was so frustrated over what OKC didn't do at the deadline this year. It's like, you're a legitimate title contender. What are you doing making Daniel Tice your headline deadline acquisition?
Well, they're going to go get Giannis is the answer. That's they the have real to reason now. Why I don't think, yeah.
They have to now. I mean, like you know, and, but maybe, have we seen Presti make a move like that?
Well, no, because he GMs like he's like the competent version of Rob, where he just GMs to keep his job, but he does it in a way where like the team is successful, you know, instead of just like blaming everything that goes wrong on someone else really yeah, well.
Like, he actually does the work instead of like yeah. the PR work. That's fair. But yeah, this notion of windows here with Dallas, if Nico Harrison is that window obsessed here, maybe Flag is immediately willing to help, but you have Kyrie coming off of a blown ACL and a bad ACL tear too. Like that one was a brutal one. You have Anthony Davis who may or may not need surgery on that abdomen going into the summer. Now you have Cooper Flag who just turned 18, right?
19. I believe 19.
Yeah. Their timeline's kind of all over the place. And if Nico Harrison is that obsessed over winning immediately and that ownership group is obsessed over winning immediately, then yeah, I think it'll be between OKC and I guess the Rockets want to get involved, but I bet Dallas gets involved here. It was funny too, to see that Giannis would apparently likes the idea of playing in a state that doesn't have income tax. Surely the kind of thing that is on the mind of somebody who hasn't thought of any of this before.
Well, again, Anthony, as you open yourself up to the window of the multiverse of futures available to you, sometimes you consider, hey, it would be nice to not get taxed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does Mark Cuban, if the Mavs trade for Giannis, does Mark Cuban take credit for signing Kostas all those years ago? Like, he definitely tries, right? He's like, yeah, you know, we got the word out that Mavs are a quality organization.
And then I sold them, and we weren't. Yeah. And Adam Silver helped us out. And now we have Giannis. But anyway, the part of this that I'm sure Lakers fans are really interested in is, how does this help the Lakers, right? And before I think they won this lottery, or air quotes on won this lottery. I think the Mavericks were adamantly against any notion of picking up the phone if Rob Pelinka called.
Like, would you?
No, of course not. Of course not.
Last time you took his call and agreed to something, you got like threats on your life for 3 months. You're like, oh, cool. I can't go to work safely anymore.
I can't watch from a chair. I have to stand and watch these games from a tunnel.
Yeah.
With a security guard right next to me.
My boss is making me do media with media availabilities to where they're just like yell at me for 2 hours.
Fans root on the media. You know, Harrison, you know how bleeped that situation is?
Yeah, that actually is true. Yeah, that's I hadn't thought about that before, but do you know how bad you have to mess up for fans to take the media side over yours? Yeah,
right, for Texans to believe in journalism?
Like, how dare you disrespect Tim McMahon?
But yeah, so now though, I kind of feel like this is one of those things where there's that clip that went around of the Mavericks kind of war room when the lottery was going on and everybody's jumping around, knocking chairs over. And Nico is like, thank God I keep my job. And
side note, I love that Nico was not either on the stage or in the back lottery room. He was just like, nope, I'm not being on TV tonight unless something goes really, really well.
No, he was there. I saw him on that clip.
No, he was in the war room. He was not in.
Oh, I see what you mean.
He was not in the room where the lottery balls were drawn. He was not their rep in there. And he was not their rep on the stage. He
that's
was like,
a, that's a Rob
you
move.
Are only showing me on camera if we win.
Yeah, that's a Rob move. That's the know what? Rob helped him out a little bit there.
Yeah.
Like, here's what you got to do. Just look like you're focusing on the work.
Yeah.
But so now they get this top pick in the draft, and either they can turn it into Giannis or they can launch their rebuild with Cooper Flagg, which is a nice path forward.
Trade it for KD.
God. Now that one would piss me off. If I was a Mavs fan, that one would hurt.
Kirk's already talking about it. I think he's trying to like reverse jinx it into not happening, but
yeah. The KD one is the one where it's like KD and then obviously the LeBron one I think would sting quite a bit too. But Giannis is explicable. KD, LeBron, Jalen Brown. I'm telling
you, it's gonna be Jalen Brown. Stay tuned.
Those ones would sting. That would hurt. But so
this is gonna be like you're gonna unearth this like the Mike Malone clip in like 3 months. Or I guess it'll only be like a month. I don't know. Like a month or two.
So before, if the Lakers tried to call about Daniel Gafford, they would be sent straight to voicemail and try to call again, and the number wouldn't work anymore. Now, I still think Nico would be somewhat gun-shy.
You think?
Probably. But I think that's a conversation they can at least have now. Like, here's my thinking, and I haven't actually...
It's going to be the first instance of money laundering, but with player contracts. Like, they're going to be like, okay, so if we get OKC on the phone, not OKC, you know, so, like, we get Charlotte on the phone, and they're willing to take Daniel Gafford for the 3 months, and then they'll ship him to you. Will you send us... Like the Hornets, can you hold these things as a way station, like a bank for us, and then just trade us them at the deadline?
The Hornets are just happy somebody's calling them.
Like, yeah.
Yes, whatever you need. But I got to look at the numbers here, and I kind of think a Gabe for Gafford trade makes some sense for both teams. The Mavericks need a point guard desperately. They have too many centers. Gafford says he wants to be paid like a starting center. It doesn't make any sense in this apron world to have Anthony Davis and a starting center's salary on your books. Eventually,
Derek Lively, they're going to have.
Eventually, you're going to have to pay Derek Lively too. Yep. And so yeah, I'm just kind of looking at it here. And if you go like Gabe and the 2031 pick for Gafford, 14-3, and Gabe is 11-5. I think the Lakers would have to add like Shake and partially guarantee his contract to make those numbers work.
Shake's going to be in a lot of those screenshots this summer.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be, you know, like Fanspo
log out
has
of the
like
whole internet account. Yeah,
like Fanspo like, has like the top.
Yeah, the trending players. Yeah.
Shake is gonna be there after like, Ja Morant. You're gonna have Giannis. You're gonna have KD and Shake Milton. But yeah,
and then Jalen Brown after that.
And Cooper Flagg already.
Shakes and more.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm just looking at it. I just want to make absolutely sure that these numbers actually work, but I'm pretty positive they do. Yeah, it's close enough. So
do you want to know who's the number four player on Fanspo trending right now?
No.
It's Maxi Kleber.
Oh no. That makes sense. Do you think he's actually getting traded? I don't think he's getting traded.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
I don't know what team would take him unless you're like teams do deals for like expiring money like that. I feel like that's a deadline thing. That's not like an off-season thing unless it's part of a bigger trade and you're just trying to like reach a number.
I'm more thinking of it from the Lakers standpoint of Luka wants to keep his guy around and the Lakers can say, hey, he's technically center depth, even though he's more of a forward.
Does Luka want to keep him around? I guess I'm like not that plugged in on this anymore.
That was his guy. They came over in the trade together. They were really close in Dallas. I mean, like maybe Luka is that kind of
like
the Lakers have so far, Harrison. Like I'm sure they're going to extend Dorian. They've already brought in all of Luka's trainers and stuff like that. Do you think there is a more cush job in the world than Luka Doncic's nutritionist, his dietitian? Like what does that guy do?
Luca, maybe a light beard? Not. Nope. Okay. All right. You do you, King.
Burger King.
Shit. Okay, Nico Harrison.
I'm sorry. I'm just not used to living in a world where I have to worry about how in shape my NBA superstar is. We went from Kobe to LeBron.
Yeah, like, Shaq.
That's true.
And AD was never in the greatest cardio shape.
He was eventually traded.
Yeah.
And this was before I was doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Could you imagine how we would have handled the Kobe Shaq years with a podcast?
Would have been some great podcasts out of that.
But yeah, what do you think of the notion the Lakers are, I still keep hearing that the name that comes up most often is Claxton. That is most closely kind of linked to the Lakers, but it is a bit of a math problem there in Dallas, and they do need a starting caliber point guard. And Gabe is that starting caliber is doing a lot of work there, but he's
a
point guard.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the Cheeto holding the door shut meme is like starting caliber on Gabe's name.
But they need a point guard for probably like 3-4 months of the season or so, and then you start getting to the point where you start hearing more and more and more about Kyrie healing. But yeah, what do you think about Gafford as a possibility and tonight maybe helping the Lakers out in those conversations?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gafford is the ideal candidate in the sense that not only is he the type of lob-throwing big man that we know Luka likes, we've seen Luka play with him and have success mm-hmm. with him. So there's tape on that, you know? Like it's not something like with Mark Williams where you're sort of guessing and hoping it'll work, or where Jackson Hayes is like, yeah, you know, he's probably going to get better next to Luka, but we don't know for sure, and we don't know how much better. It's like with Gafford, you've seen them play together. Yeah, it was a different context, different coach, like different teammates to some degree, but we know what that looks like, and we know that him and Luka have good lob chemistry and can make that work. And so, you know, I am not sold on the feasibility of it, just because like I genuinely don't know how, if you're Nico Harrison, you go to your boss and you say, I'm going to make another trade with the Lakers. I understand the Cooper Flagg thing. I understand whatever. Like, I feel like there's no way the Patrick Dumont or whatever the rich like nepo son in law like name that is running the Mavs.
Yeah, Patrick Dumont.
Like, mm-hmm. yeah, there's no way that Nico like sets up a meeting with him and he's like, okay, so the Lakers put together a promising package, and that guy is not like, hold on a second, you just got. There's just no, I just don't buy that.
The whole reason Adam Silver had to give us the number one pick in the first place is because you spoke to Rob Pelinka for way too long in a coffee shop.
Yeah, Exactly. I just, that's the part that doesn't pass muster to me. But he's an interesting name, obviously, and I'm not saying the Lakers shouldn't go try and make the call and whatever. I just have a hard time believing that that gets consummated once it gets to the ownership level.
Yeah, that's probably
unless the
why...
Lakers way overpay, which they shouldn't do for Daniel Gafford. You know, again, he would be a good big with Luka, but it's the same thing as the Mark Williams thing. You don't need to go throw more first round picks than you threw in the Luka deal for the guy to go catch his lobs. You know, you can find those guys, and Luka's going to make them better.
They only have one first that they can move, so that's the most. Do you actually think this is something that I actually have been wanting to talk to you about? I keep on trying to write a off-season preview for Clutch Points. Sorry, Clutch Points, it's taking so long. But the reason that it's hard for me to write it, Harrison, is because there are so many things that run antithetically to each other, right? You have the way that JJ wants to coach versus the way that Luka wants to play. You have the changes that need to be made to the roster and how few assets the Lakers have right now to make those changes. And you also have Rob Pelinka operating the way that he has in the past, where he has never entered a season without a first round draft pick in his back pocket, if not multiple first round picks in his back pocket. And if they use that first round pick on like a Daniel Gafford, that doesn't feel like a Rob Pelinka trade to me. You know, that's not the guy he would use a first round pick on. You know,
I mean, he almost used one on Mark Williams.
Yeah, but that's like allegedly. a younger center on his rookie contract, former higher pick. Daniel Gafford, I don't think he went for a first round pick when the Mavericks traded for him. If anything, I could see the Lakers waiting until the season to trade for Gafford when his price is lower
Gafford
than a first
is
round
only
pick.
26 for what it's worth.
Yeah,
he's but not what that he, old.
Let's see, Wizards, Mavericks trade for Gafford. They did send a first round pick. Okay.
I think it was protected, but yeah.
Yeah. So maybe the Lakers
protected might have been for PJ Washington. One of the two had a protected pick involved.
Yeah. Maybe they just heavily protect the first round pick and that, you know, but even there, like, is that enough for the Mavericks to make another trade with the Lakers, to your point?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you know, to come back to the actual question, I genuinely don't know how this offseason is going to play out because of all the things that run up against each other. Do you see Rob Pelinka making a trade this offseason and not having a first-round pick in his back pocket going into next year? Like, that seems crazy to me.
I mean, I could see it if the right name becomes available. And we know some unexpected names are going to become available this summer. And it will be, I think, to some degree, a buyer's market, because I think it seems like there's so many stars that are potentially going to be on the move. And it's like a bad fit, or this guy needs a new home, or this guy wants a new home, or, you know, whatever, that I could see Rob making a deal if the right one was on the table. I'm just not sure who that's for, and do the Lakers have the contracts to match without, like, including LeBron, which they're obviously not going to do. And he has no trade clause anyway, so he would have to, you know, sign off on any deal that they did include him in.
Yeah. We can
come up with the Giannis, you know, sign and trade screenshots, whatever, like the Mavs ones, whatever. But it's like, ultimately, LeBron has to agree to it, and the other team has to agree to it, and the Lakers have to feel like they're getting a good price. And we know that Rob never wants to leave any even like marginal doubt that he won the negotiations.
Right.
So.
But that's my point. It's just, it's really hard to see a world where the Lakers overpay, because that's not Rob's style, but they kind of sort of need to overpay because they need to get a center. And, you know, Jovan came on the show on Friday and I thought made a really good point. It was like, no, do your work in the summer and then make whatever way that you have to find to make whatever tweak that you need to make in the regular season. But do your work in the summer, go into the season with a roster that you actually believe in. And give that
a go.
Don't
make me make 100 calls in February to figure out what you're going to do at the deadline.
Exactly. That was said off camera. But yeah. that's Rob's style though. Like the reason we need to have that conversation is because that's the way that Rob has historically operated. So like that, I would love to be able to sit here and tell people, yeah, totally. The Lakers are definitely going to trade a first round pick for the starting center that they desperately need this upcoming. But I think it's probably likelier that they trade the number 55 pick, or maybe they buy a pick and trade that pick and the number 55 pick for an okay center that you could squint at and maybe see start. And then they treat Kleba as like the addition in his own way. And then they look to make that bigger move during the season when prices go down a little bit. That's how I probably see it going, but it's probably not what people want to hear.
One thing that I think maybe you're underrating is that, you know, if Austin Reeves were to become available, he would become one of the better trade chips on the market.
Yeah.
And is that something where the Lakers see how far they can get in an extension and then they potentially look at the deadline in trying to find him a place where he wants to go and give them his bird rights and they can get a player back that they like? And like, does that take the place of having that sort of token first round pick to play around with? And Rob still feels like he has his sort of prize flexibility to some degree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Austin thing is,
they're obviously not giving any indications that they're going to move Austin, and they called him a pillar and whatever, but it's like at some point you look at the roster and you do the math and it's like how much are they going to invest into playmaking? And again, I think Austin's really good. I don't think that they should be giving him away or trading him for a bad player or something like that, but or just like, you know, trading him for Daniel Gafford even, you know, like who's not bad, but he's not that level of player. And, you know, but it is something where do you look at maybe making a lateral to slight downgrade in overall talent because it upgrades the overall fit of your team? Because they're not going to trade LeBron and they're not going to trade Luka. And so that just sort of makes Austin the guy that is going to get mentioned 100 times this summer and going into the trade deadline next year.
But that's another one of those situations that I talked about, right? That every bit of math that I've done points to Austin is probably the guy that needs to go. Every time I look at this roster and the assets that the Lakers have to work with, I always come back to, and it's a bummer. I really like Austin. I really think he's going to be a good player. Whenever he goes somewhere and he gets more responsibility in the offense, he is going to look really good. I can definitively say that. How good that'll go in the postseason when the athleticism and stuff steps up, like we'll see. But it would suck to see him go, but that's the math there. And then, you know, riding up against that seemingly, I don't want to call it inevitable, but almost difficult to maneuver around kind of decision, butting up against that is the way that the Lakers see Austin, where like he is probably Rob's biggest win. But I would say like biggest legitimate win, right? The one that like other executives,
the scouting department found him. Like how much of that is on Rob? Like Rob was, you're telling me Rob was grinding Austin Reeves tape? Come on.
Yeah. I don't think he knew who Austin was when he walked into the building.
I feel like there's 10% chance that he had even watched him play when they brought him in as a two-way guy.
Yeah, probably not. I mean,
10%, he'd probably watch him play. He probably was not intimately familiar with his game.
Yeah. But like, you look at the athleticism concerns with Austin and Luka, you have the creativity concerns in that Austin doesn't get to be as creative on the ball because of Luka's presence in the offense and the way that the offense kind of runs and revolves around him. It's just difficult to see this roster and this offseason and the moves that the Lakers need to make much sense with Austin still there. And we'll see how things go when things come to a head. I still think the likeliest scenario here that the Lakers offer him the max extension. He turns down the max extension because he is worth more than 20-ish, $22 million a year.
Yeah.
He undoubtedly and objectively is worth more than that per year. So he turns out that down that max extension, but now he and the Lakers kind of go into next season looking at their time either together or apart after this season, because Austin could get the kind of offer that blows him away and the Lakers don't have the opportunity to max it or may not be inclined to max it. And now you go from having one of the top assets in the NBA to now losing him for nothing after next season.
You have a guy that people are arguing is worth potentially upwards of $30 million that's making like 12 right now. And yeah. then you lose him for nothing. That's a gigantic hole in not just your roster, but also in your ability to sort of put a cohesive team together.
While you are bereft of other assets too, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's,
well,
that's
those are going to start to replenish.
Yeah.
Over the next year or so.
Yeah. Well, but because of the step-in rules, it actually is kind of difficult for them to actually do anything with those things because they already have.
Well, you can trade picks on draft night. Like there's,
yeah,
you know, you can do swaps. But, like there's going to be more stuff that becomes available to them over the years to come.
Yeah.
They're sort of pretty much out from under the AD trade at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you still can't quite control those picks to the extent that you would like to, because of protections and picks yeah. that are actually out the door. But yeah, you're right. And look, what really helps them is the fact that they were able to get Luka without giving up everything that they didn't have nailed down. So that
yeah, that's the only reason here. We're even talking about them being able to upgrade. It's like if they had thrown sort of the true Luka's like if the Mavs would have opened it up to league-wide bidding, they the amount that the Lakers would have had to offer to outbid that if the Mavs were not just so dead set on getting AD, which seems like they are, but like if the Lakers have been forced to pay a higher price, we wouldn't be talking about, oh, can they upgrade for a center? It would be like, well, this sucks. Like they got to let LeBron go, I guess, you know, and yeah. try to sort of do rebuild around Luka, you know, sort of like sell off, do sort of a gap year and try to make it work and whatever. Like they would not be in as good of a position if they didn't have, hadn't held on to some of the assets that they did in the Luka trade.
That is kind of the final point that I need to make here. And actually, it is kind of an answer to a super comment that I saw from earlier. So I'm going to play this really quick. Stop watching!
Obviously, well wishes to Jason Tatum.
Damn it. I clicked on it. And I was like, too late now.
Yeah.
All right. So the starred comment here, I'm going a little out of order, but JK Productions writes, the thing that haunts me is we are losing a 1A superstar for nothing when LeBron leaves. That's tough for any team, and the Luka era is handicapped. This year might have been the best shot at a title. I think next year is still their best shot at a title because of everything that we've been talking about here.
Because you have an offseason to sort of reformat the roster to just balance it out a little bit more.
But I think this is like... I understand
what the person's saying, though, because we don't know that LeBron's going to be this good next year.
Yeah. Oh, totally. No, but I think the point that I want to make in regards to this, and I think it's a good point, good question, is that this is the reason you have to trade Austin. Because him and that first round pick and that number 55 pick, like what all of everything, all of the expiring contracts that the Lakers have, like this is probably the Lakers' best opportunity at getting that 1A superstar for after LeBron leaves, while LeBron is still there. Because after you pay Austin, your books pay become more complicated. Yeah, you do have potentially more picks to potentially work with, but you're not going to have all of the expiring salaries that the Lakers have right now. Like this is, it is a bit of a perfect storm where you're looking at this. And again, I say this liking Austin and liking his game, and it would be a bummer to see the best story that has come across the Lakers sphere in the last few years will now probably not be on this team. If I see it playing out the way that I think it might, you have to take advantage of this kind of opportunity when you have Austin on this kind of a deal and he's seen the way that he is seen around the league at the position that he plays too, by the way, which is really important. Offensive initiator, all that stuff. I just think like this is the time where you move Austin and that first round pick that you have and whatever else you have to, and you go out and you get Luka, whether it's the starting center that he needs or the 1A star, or who would right now be 1B because you have LeBron still, but you go out and get that guy who fits Luka's timeline, and you know, you can comfortably see building around here moving forward. I don't think Austin is that guy, and he's going to about to be paid like that guy. I just don't know how well he and Luka fit moving forward together.
Well, he's not going to be paid like that. I mean, he's not going to get the max.
Yeah. It'll be like a $30-35 million, $32 million player. Like, that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing, but it's not like the maxes get, we're talking like max players are getting up to like 50-60 million now. So,
right. I mean, but like, yeah, I that's where I'm saying Austin and whatever expirings, and you go out and get the $40-ish million player, and that we'd have to see who that actually be over the course of this offseason and this regular season, and we'll see where you kind of land on there. Let's finish this off. Justin Tindall writes, as an Aussie Laker fan, I'm so upset for the Bulls.
I'm upset for Bulls fans. I'm not upset for the Bulls. The Bulls got what they wanted. They made the play-in.
Yeah, like, it's hard for me to ever feel bad for them with that ownership group and the way that we know that they are run, where they are never willing to bottom out. They had every opportunity to actually bottom out this year, and we're like, nope. No siree, Bob. We're going to train for Mr. Mickey Mouse March stats in what's his name?
Josh Giddey.
Giddey, yeah. And he's going to keep.
They're always going to have, you know, they're always going to have that viral tweet of their game winner over the Lakers, you know? So
that's worth raising a banner, in my opinion.
That might be better than Cooper Flagg. I don't know. I haven't experienced either, but I'm just guessing.
Have you ever wondered if, like, Twitter is in the budget lines for some of these teams? Like, the like, revenue that they generate, like,
are they trying
from Twitter
to get blue revenue? I mean, for probably some of their social media teams, yeah, like, factors into the, like, ads revenue overall. It's probably not a major line item. I can't possibly imagine.
But you think, I think it is a line item. I feel like,
I mean, they're judged on engagement. I don't know that they're judged on the money that comes from those engagements, because for them, the money comes from people wanting to buy ads on their account.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
like Twitter algorithmic ads. It's like, can we get engagement? And then, like, Nissan wants to sponsor our starting lineup graphics, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I just love the idea of, like, you know, because we get our like, however often they come in, is like, you got paid by Twitter, whatever it is. And it's like $50 or something dumb.
Bulls guy is not even an employee. It's just like a kid. It's just like a kid they told can keep the money from the Twitter blue revenue
until they find out how much it actually is.
Yeah.
Because of that.
No, he doesn't get paid. He just gets paid in the blue revenue. So he's like making, like, you know, like $100 a month.
I think they make more than $100.
I mean, the Josh Giddey a buzzer beater month, probably.
All right, that's a perfect spot to the Josh Giddey buzzer beater one. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Harrison, for popping on. Quick reminder, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Please hit that share button. All of those things help the show. And yeah, until the next time you guys hear from us, I am Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. Have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's. And Dallas Mavericks, please give us a
Bye, everyone.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.